Once again, we're going to be in the 10th chapter of Genesis, last lesson in the Gleanings in Genesis series. We talked about the prophecy of Noah, and we talked about how it came true. History shows that Noah's prophecy came true. When he talked to his sons and he told them how their lives were going to play out and how their offspring were going to relate to each other in the world and how the nations of the world were going to be formed and from who they were going to be formed and what the destiny of these nations was going to be. And we saw in history that it plays out true. It plays out true all the way to today. If we take Genesis chapter 10 and we look at verse 8 through 12, and then we look at chapter 11, verse 1 through 9, we will notice that this is kind of a side caption to what is being said in the rest of these two chapters. And what we see here, beginning of chapter 10, we see the lineage or the generations of people from Noah to Abram or Abraham. Except for these two places, these two scriptures, if they were in parentheses, or if we thought of them as being in parentheses or drawn out from these two chapters, without them we see a straight generation or lineage of Noah all the way to Abram. And we're going to study this and these generations as they come down all the way, eventually, to today and to us. But it's going to be a long time as we graduate through each of these descendants of Shem and Japheth and Ham. But this morning, I want us to look at the scriptures that I pointed out as being separate or divided or in parentheses. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 through 12. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah. And Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same, is a great city. Now chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So this morning, our study, we're going to title Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. I had mentioned before a little bit about Nimrod, and that we're going to see that he was a significant character, a significant type here in Genesis. We will notice when this person came to be. We will notice that it was immediately preceding God's call of Abram, or Abraham. Notice that. Immediately preceding God calling Abraham from among the Gentiles, and of course bringing him into the Promised Land, we see Nimrod. We also would see that the same thing is going to happen just before God the Father gathers his people to himself to put them in the Promised Land. There's going to be a great man that's going to rise up here in this world. He's going to be the Antichrist. We're going to see this morning that Nimrod is a very typical person of that Antichrist. We're going to see several different ways that Nimrod, his way of life, his kingdom, if you will, all of these things are prevalent to the way that the Antichrist will come, what the Antichrist plans are, and what his goal is, and how he goes about seeking this goal. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Nimrod has a type of the Antichrist who is to come. Now we know that Satan is God's enemy from the very beginning. He wants to be God. He is the great imitator. The great imitator. As I said, just before God gathers the descendants of Abraham, his chosen people, to take them to the Promised Land, that's future, that's what we're sitting here waiting for today, aren't we? For the Lord to come back, take us to the Promised Land. He's going to gather up the spiritual descendants of Abraham. That's you, if you know him. You are in the spiritual line, lineage of Abraham. Just before he does this and gathers us together, there's going to be a great man who's going to show up. Now, Jesus Christ was the great man in God's plan. The only man ever capable of, or licensed to, if you will, die for another's soul. The only one. The Son of God himself. God's plan for the people that he loved so much was to send his only Son and to give him up for those that he loved. That's God's plan. Jesus Christ will reign in this new world, this new heaven and new earth that God has gone to prepare for us. He will reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now we said that Satan was a great imitator. And that's exactly what he is. He wants to be God. So, what are Satan's plans? Same thing. Satan's going to have his man, his special person. He's going to be a superman. Now this world, all of my life and before, has always needed and wanted a superman. The bionic man, superman, spiderman, great powers. All of these figments of our imagination, or all of these characters that we are shown, all of them are depicting a great super person. A great super person that has powers greater than we. And so the man of sin will reign as king on this earth. for a short time. And he's going to get his power. He's going to be energized by Satan himself. He's an imitator. Do you see the likeness? Jesus Christ was here to do the will of his Father, wasn't he? Over and over he tells us this. Not my will, but your will. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. All of these things that he tells us to make us realize that they are one. That his authority, his power, his energy came from the Father. And so, we're going to have this imitator, the Antichrist, who's going to rise up. He's going to have powers that we don't have. He is going to reign as king on this earth for a short time. Just as Nimrod did back in this time. The word Nimrod actually means rebel. R-E-B-E-L. Rebel. That certainly depicts Satan, does it not? To a T. It fits him to a T. Rebel. And that's exactly what Nimrod did. He rebelled against God. He rebelled against God. He wanted to make a name for himself. Not to exalt or magnify the name of the Creator, but himself. He headed up a great confederacy, and they were in open revolt against God. They wanted to jump off the track that God had put them on through Noah and do something different. Something that exalted them. Chapter 11, verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. I'm sorry. I meant to go to chapter 10, verse 8. Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Now, where did Cush come from? Cush is in line with Ham, the brother that was cursed. So here we see the descendant of Ham, who was under the curse that Ham was under, sinning against God and gathering all the earth basically to worship him. Make him a name. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. Four times he's described as being mighty. Doing all powers and signs. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll find it. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. We'll start in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. There he is. There's the Antichrist. There's that man of sin. And he's going to have all this power. And his power is going to come from Satan. And everybody's going to worship him. everybody that has the mark, either in their right hand or in their forehead, the scripture says. They're going to worship him. Does that not sound familiar? The great deceiver, the duplicator, the impersonator, you see, Satan himself, gives this man his power. Satan gave Nimrod his power, too. He was a mighty hunter. He gained preeminence over the earth, over men of that day. And he did it by force. The word that's used here for mighty in the Hebrew is gibber, G-I-B-B-O-R. And it means chief or chieftain. The chief. The head of everybody else. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He was more than just a hunter of animals. We're told elsewhere that he was bloody. A bloody person. He took this power by force. Everybody feared him, I believe. He had power. And he had that power from darkness. From the devil himself. In the 10th verse of Genesis 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Babel. We are told that Babel means confusion. And it did come to mean that. But that's not what its original definition is. The original definition in the Hebrew of Babel is the gate of God. The gate of God. That's what Nimrod was building. The duplicator, you see. The duplicator. His ambition was to establish a world empire. What was the commandment that that the Lord gave Noah to pass on to his son? He told him to spread out the whole earth, replenish the whole earth. That's what they were to do. Well, Nimrod wanted to do just exactly the opposite of that. He said, I don't want us to spread all out. Let's gather all up here. Let's build a tower, a gate to God, so that we might make us a name for ourselves. That was his goal, was to be just like God, to be like God. It was Satan's attempt to take over the earth again. In Nimrod, we see Satan's attempt to raise up a universal leader of men, a universal ruler. Turn back to 2 Thessalonians again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm having trouble finding this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And we read these two a while ago. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Here we see the true God. Here we see our Lord Jesus Christ. And God, even our Father, having loved us and given us this everlasting consolation. Satan is an imitator. Nimrod was Satan's man. He put him on this earth to gather men together. He was a great dominator. He did it by force. He was a great hunter. Even as it is said, a great hunter before the Lord. A mighty hunter. It shows that he did this by force. That he was a bloody man. And they were afraid of him. He had powers that the rest of them didn't have. Strength that the rest of them didn't have. And he wanted to go against God's plan and change it. He didn't want to populate the whole earth. He wanted to gather everybody together in one place and build this tower that would reach unto heaven. All right, back to Genesis. Chapter 11. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. Notice, it's a plain, it's not a mountain. It's down low, it's not up high. This plain is in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly. So they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth, which is what the Lord had commanded them to do. That's what they were to do. And so the people were going against God, and they were developing, building with their own hands, their own way to heaven. That's what they thought. originally, the name of that city and that tower meant the gate of God. That's really what was in their heart. Pride, you see. They were going to reach heaven in their very own way. Where does pride come from? It comes from Satan. It comes from Satan. Pride is an evil thing. It really is. We have it naturally, don't we? Sometimes we are so proud of ourselves. But praise God, if you know Him, He brings you to the end of yourself. He does it to me quite often because I need it quite often. And that pride, it just flows out like water on the ground. It's nothing. It's false. Oh, but we should be so proud of our Savior. He is a jealous God. He doesn't share His glory with anybody. These people here, they wanted the glory. They wanted to make a name for themselves. God's name is great and marvelous, and always has been. And so they wanted to duplicate this great name of God and make a name for themselves. Look at us. We can build the gate to heaven. Pride. That's what drove them to do this. And to follow Nimrod. Verse 5 says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. Don't you know how displeased He was when He saw the works of the hands of man attempting not only to go through, but to build the gate of heaven? He certainly knew it wouldn't work. He knew where it came from. He knew that the source of this pride and this wanting to make a name for themselves came from the deceiver. He knows all things. And it didn't take long for him to put an end to it, did it? No. Not at all. When he came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. That was not His design. That was not God's plan. God's plan was for the people to multiply and fill the earth, not gather all up in one big bunch and make a name for themselves. He said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. They all had the same goal. They were all on the same path. Nimrod, this mighty man, this mighty leader, he had powers again. Remember that. He had Satan behind him. He had led all of the people down the same path together. They were all of one language and one speech. I think that goes further than just the language, and it goes to their purpose in life. They all had the same idea. They were all following Nimrod. This is going to be great. It's going to be a name like God's name, but it's going to be for us, you see. That was their goal. And they had this in common with each other. It says, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Doesn't that remind you of when God told Noah to build an ark because He was going to destroy all of those on the earth? And why did He do it? Because even the imagination of their hearts was evil continually. They never had any good thoughts. Never. That's why the Lord says, even the imagination of their hearts was only evil continually. That's the state of mind here at the Tower of Babel. Now, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. They imagined that they could find a way to heaven on their own. They imagined in their heart that they could depend on their abilities, especially as this group. You know, 100 people can do a lot more than one or two people, right? This was a huge group. This was a lot of people all gathered together with the same thing in mind. The same thing. The thing that they imagined in their heart. But as in this day, and as we're going to see, God doesn't put up with that for very long. God's way has always been not only the right way, but the only way. The only way to reach Him. His way, not man's way. Not anything that mankind can imagine. And now we've got some pretty vivid imaginations in here, don't we? We can imagine a lot of things. But they're vain imaginations. And they're not worth much. God's way is always not only the right way, which it is, but it's the only way. The only way. So now, God's got a go-to of His own, doesn't He? They said, go to, let us build a city. Now the Lord says, go to, let us go down. And there confound their language. You might say, well, God's not the author of confusion, the author of confusion. But it sounds like He confused them. Let me tell you, what God was doing here was taking mass confusion and making order out of it. He was bringing about His plan for the nations of this earth. It was God's plan. And it was going to happen. No matter what. Makes you think of Jonah. The Lord was going to save the city of Nineveh. Even though Jonah didn't care, just as soon him wipe them off the face of the earth, God had a way of making it happen, didn't He? He did. He had Jonah thrown overboard and swallowed by a fish. But His plan, despite the imagination of Jonah in this case, the imagination of men that ought to be all right, we're going to do something else. It'll be all right. Let Him destroy them. He cared more for the gourd than He did for the people of Nineveh, didn't He? He did. The Lord was about to make sense out of chaos. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. What did this do? Well, He said that they were all of one speech and one language. Almost sounds like a repetition. Speech and language. But again, I think that it goes further, and it actually tells of their direction in life, their plans. They all talked about the same thing and wanted the same thing. All the people were gathered going in the same direction to build this tower, this gate to heaven. Verse 8 says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. We're going to see later on that this man of sin that Nimrod is a type of is also connected with Babylon. We're going to see that connection. Nimrod truly the type of the Antichrist. Empowered, energized, and directed by the great enemy of God, Satan himself. Verse 9 says, therefore is the name of it called Babel, which basically now means confusion, because of what he did to their languages. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord do what? Scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. You see God's plan coming through no matter what man does? That's how it is. That's how it is. God is in control. And so what he originally told man to do, even though they had imaginations of doing something totally different in a different way, God brought it all the way back around, and his will was done anyway. It always shall be. He scattered them abroad upon the face of the earth. God is in control of all things. A lot of people have a picture of Satan running around today wherever he pleases and tempting anybody he wants, anytime he wants. And it's up to us to choose between good or bad. Well, let me tell you, God is in control of Satan in every way. He does nothing that God doesn't allow. Read the book of Job. Only the things that God allows him to do, does he do. All things in creation, including Satan, are under God's control. Always have been and always will be. And you can rest this morning that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is still in control, as he always will be. Won't you flee to him for all of your problems, all of your desires? Flee to him. What big, strong arms he has. How he comforts us and directs us. Praise him this morning. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and shall be forever.